Welcome back to Lifeline, folks. Sitting across from me in the chair, in the hot seat, is none other than Brendan Minnick, Director for Recovery Ireland. And we're going to have a chat about the ins and outs of recovery. Good morning, Brendan. How are you?
Good morning, Liam. A pleasure to be back with you.
Well, it's fantastic to have you back here again. If you remember, folks, Brendan was here with us a couple of weeks back, speaking with another member of Men Shed. Yeah, so that was an interesting conversation. Well, today he's speaking about Recovery Ireland, as he's Director of Recovery Ireland. So we're going to have a few questions for you, Brendan.
Fire away.
Start off there and just let us know, what is Recovery Ireland?
Well, Recovery Self-Help Method Ireland, it's a community-based mental health organisation which helps and supports people of all ages who have mental health issues. Originally, it would have been founded in Chicago, Illinois, by a leading psychiatrist by the name of Dr. Abraham Lowe. Dr. Lowe worked for approximately 30 years odd of his life in the USA, and he was an Orthodox Jew from Poland who emigrated from Vienna to New York in the early 20s. He studied psychoanalysis too under Freud and Adler in Vienna, so he had good pedigree. In terms of recovery,
Brian.
In terms of recovery itself, it's been around in Ireland since the early 70s, and it's run at the moment by Recovery Self-Help Method Ireland, which is independent from the mothership in the States, Recovery International.
How long is Recovery Ireland?
72, if my memory serves me right, was approximately the time it kicked off in Ireland.
Wow, okay.
So we're around the block quite a while, Liam.
Yeah, absolutely. And, because you do hear a lot, it's like it's almost in fashion now for kids and for teachers and so on and so forth to speak about mental health, which is fantastic, because years ago, you know, men and women alike wouldn't speak about how their feelings were. So, how do you find that people are speaking about it now? Obviously, there must be a larger amount of people.
There is out there. Our problem sometimes is we're competing with a fairly infested field out there, because you have Aware, you would have Grow. I think Headspace are out there too.
Yes, indeed.
So there's a number of organizations out there trying to kind of feed off the situation that's occurring on a far too frequent basis. We have too many youngsters, one could safely say, struggling with mental health issues. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, I wouldn't be slow in advising maybe perhaps somewhere along the way, maybe in the future, maybe mental health could become a subject at school.
I agree.
To help kids, because recovery self-help method is it's disciplined and it's based on self-help. So, unlike many other organisations, we encourage the people who come to us with their own particular brand of mental health issues, we encourage them to help themselves along the way, so that at the end of the day, if they kind of factor themselves into the recovery method, they get a set of coping tools that helps them deal with their mental health issues. Mm-hmm. Can I just, because since I'm on a roll,
Work away.
How the format of the recovery self-help
absolutely, I'd love to hear it, yes.
operates. Mm-hmm. It's based on a four-step program. We, as recovery members, meet once a week as part of our discipline for recovery. And at the meeting, we have a reading when we go in of one of his textbooks. I'll mention the titles to those later for you, Liam.
Please do, yeah.
And after that, then, people then offer to give examples of something that happened in the previous week, which kind of worked them up, and they were able, as a result of the working up process, to rely on their recovery self-help method tools. So they describe an event which kind of annoyed them, got them worked up. Then they talk about the particular type of symptoms they had. It could be something as common as head pressure. It could be chest pressure. Mm-hmm. It could be palpitations. There's a whole range of physical sensations. And then the racing thoughts, and these are important. It could be, for instance, fearful thoughts like, oh, I'm out of bags of that again. How am I going to cope? Will I ever be shut at this? Or it could be angry thoughts, like against someone else, such as, I hate that fecker. He's always says he's right and I'm wrong. So they report the racing thoughts they had. And then the recovery team, that mm-hmm. the members at the meeting, step in and do some what they call is spotting. They identify some slogans in particular to recovery that deal with that. For instance, Liam, if you and I were have to have a headbutting argument, and you were saying to me, I hate that boy, I hate that dude, mm-hmm. and you'd have a lot of angry thoughts inside you. In this, if you were to use your recovery, you would say something like, people do things that annoy me, not to annoy me.
Yeah.
Or you could say, it isn't Brendan that I'm really annoyed with. It's my reaction to what Brendan mm-hmm. is saying. Mm-hmm. So they kind of, though, the insecure racing thoughts are replaced by standout positive and secure thoughts. Mm-hmm. And over a period of time, that helps to manufacture a different psyche in the person who's struggling with mental health issues, so that if they are prone to quick anger against people, you know, the more they become familiar with recovery, the more they use these expressions like, people do things that annoy me, not to annoy me. Mm-hmm. And I can't afford the luxury of temper. That's another one. You will hear, and if you'll read in a bit about recovery, that word temper. Temper is involved with a judgment against either myself or against you. I was explaining to you, temper against myself, that's kind of fear temper. I'm not good enough. I can't deal with this. Mm-hmm. You know, the future looks very bleak. And then the angry temper is, he's wrong and I'm right. I don't care how much it takes out of me. Mm-hmm. So once people become familiar with the recovery wording, they kind of pick up a toolkit of different positive, secure thoughts. And since it's all based on cognitive behavior, over a period of time, they develop their own kind of spots.
So you're really trying to basically trick the brain into a more positive way of thinking, would you imagine?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say trick it. I'd say we're trying to persuade it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That because persuade it to change the line of thinking.
Well, we all, I think as a nation, as a human being, we generally our first note, our first thought is usually the negative.
Yes.
So it's trying to turn that negative into a more positive
outlook.
Turn
it around, as you can understand, I suppose, from the last batch of statistics, there's a lot of suicides out there.
There is, unfortunately.
I would feel, as being a long time member of recovery, that perhaps if some of those had sight of the recovery method, and they mightn't have walked the road they did walk. Mm-hmm. The other thing I'd say about recovery is at these meetings, which are held once a week, there's a great sense of camaraderie in the meetings.
Okay.
A great sense of security. People will open up and talk about things.
So it's a safe place, yeah.
It's a safe haven, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. a sanctuary almost, mm-hmm. you know. And I don't know, many times back over the years, I've gone down and said, geez, I wish I wasn't taking this meeting tonight. Mm-hmm. I just don't feel up to it. Mm-hmm. And by the time I would go home, I was walking on air.
Brilliant.
You know, but
okay.
That's because
so you left it behind, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Speaking is key. I think as a race, you know, if we're not speaking what's inside in our thoughts, then we're in trouble.
Yeah.
The more we speak about our thoughts, I think the easier it is.
Well, again, Liam, you're definitely spot on the nail there. But the other thing to factor in is, particularly for men, is the fact that guys are very, very reticent to open up.
Indeed, yeah.
The ladies are able to kind of discuss things over the kind of the washing line outside.
Yeah, indeed. Well, women have always been, I think, in that way. You know, women are much better at sharing their feelings, you know, and I think it goes way back to, you know, boys don't cry, you know.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
Keep it to yourself. Know, yeah, yeah, the stuff, stiff upper lip, as they say, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It wouldn't be the done thing for a guy to be unburdening himself, you know.
Exactly.
It'd be a sign of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
There's the great Dermot.
We have the great Dermot has just arrived. Dermot Grennan, who has 40 years experience with Recovery Ireland, and he runs his own recovery group. Welcome to the conversation, Brendan. How are you?
Dermot,
excuse me. You threw me off.
Thank you. Thanks.
Fantastic. Well,
sorry,
it's very, very, not at all. It's absolutely fine. It's great to have you here with us.
Indeed,
Dermot. And we'll have a chat with Dermot now in a few minutes on what he does with Recovery Ireland. So Brendan, and I really like what you said there. That one of the power points there was I can't afford the luxury of temper. Now I really like that. That's a really, really good thing to put into the mind, I believe.
Absolutely.
Because it means you can step back from the issue
and
from the temper and actually look at it and say, well, is it rational or not?
Objectivity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I suppose there's a bit of empathy there as well thrown in, because you're empathising with the situation, you know.
Well, we found as recovery people, and indeed people who have mental health issues, that if we become angry against you or that good man over there, that we call that outer environment. That's outside of your own thoughts, feelings, impulses and sensations. So everything outside of you is your outer environment. If we get annoyed at the outer environment, we're the biggest casualty of all.
Well, this is true.
We're the ones that are worked up, not the outer environment.
You carry it around for the day where the other person doesn't, is probably even unaware that it's happening.
Exactly.
Some
people will carry it around for months.
Yes, indeed. And that's when it gets deep, I'm sure.
Deep.
So, Brendan, let me see. What are the plans to grow these groups? Because obviously there's a lot of groups in the country.
Well, we've roughly...
How many groups, actually? Yeah.
Well, we've about 24. We're actually after getting two new groups going.
So you have them located throughout Ireland, I assume.
Yeah, I think I have them there. Did I show you the list of where they are?
You did indeed, and I shall have a chat a little later about that list. And if anybody wants any details about Recovery Ireland, please don't hesitate to get either in contact with us here on 867-1190, that's near FM, or you can contact Mary Fitzgerald. She's at the PR consultation for Recovery Ireland. And their number, I'll say it again at the end of the show, but in the meantime, it's 678-678-7916. That's 678-7916. Okay, so we'll get on a little bit more. Let's have a chat with Dermot, will we?
Yes, and the man is itching to get in.
Absolutely. So Dermot, fantastic, it's lovely. So Dermot, how did you get involved with Recovery Ireland? And when did you get involved with Recovery Ireland, more like?
My wife was in Pat's, Pat's Hospital.
And Pat's is a
psychiatric hospital in Dublin, you know. And
I know it well. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure our listeners knew about it. Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah.
No, she developed a condition called schizoid affective disorder.
Okay.
I had no contact with mental health before that at all. So she went into hospital then. She was there for a couple of months.
Oh dear.
And there was talk then of an aftercare.
Okay.
Situation. And then I kind of, if you like, mix them all with the mental health community.
Yeah, of course, because you got to know a lot of people.
Nora was Nora's dead now, but she
Sorry
was
to hear
the
that.
The lady concerned, the lady in my life. But she recovery came up then on the radar, because apparently there was her sister was teaching in a school where one of the teachers had a similar situation to her sister, and the link up came that way. But I followed through on that, and I went to some of the meetings. Now initially I thought I went down for the social, because we'd have the meeting first and we'd maybe go down and have a little drink or two afterwards.
Great. So it was a nice social event as well.
Social event as well as sitting in on the what the people.
And I'm sure that helped yourself as well, you know,
to speak about
stuff.
Just to explain that it took me a year to get the message.
Okay.
that I could use it myself.
Right. Okay.
I came for her horror.
Yeah.
As a kind of a social.
And then learned, obviously, that you needed to grow a bit yourself. Yeah, because
I was doing exams at the time, mm-hmm. and I had a panic attack, and I'd never had a panic attack before. Mm-hmm. Couldn't sleep, couldn't rest. And then began to tune in what they were talking about at the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And began to see then there was a connection between what I was hearing at the meeting and my inner experience at that particular time.
Yeah.
So after about a year, mm-hmm. I got the message about recovery that I could actually use it myself seriously. Because mm-hmm. I got it intellectually fairly quickly. I knew it was all, you don't lose your rag and all that crap. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realise it had anything to do with me.
Of course, yeah. Well, this is it. You look outside from another person's perspective, but this is very good that you actually...
I hung in there with them, and I found that in this panic attack I had about the exams that I tried the techniques of Dr. Lowe,
mm-hmm.
and it worked.
Brilliant. Fantastic.
He got his exams.
I heard
what they call it.
Brilliant.
I got experiential knowledge.
Very good. So it helps in other situations and in stressful situations. Yeah.
Well, it was a stress situation for me. Mm. But I that was how I became involved. Because then I took an interest in it. I thought it was a good system. So I grew up in Drumcondra, so I thought I'd bring the people Drumcondra recovery.
Good, well done.
So I started a group there in 1980.
Wow, so it's been going quite some time. Fantastic.
He's Drumcondra's finest.
Ah, indeed.
Can I just mention briefly to you, Liam, that...
We have to move it along a bit there, boys.
He's an honorary life member of Recovery International.
Okay.
And there's very few of them around. Right. Ulibus,
well done. Okay, lads, we have to hurry it along a little, so I want to get these questions out quite quickly. So how is recovery funded?
Dermot, would you like...
Oh, yeah, I'll give you that one. There are what we call a free will offering, a collection at the meeting every week. That's
very
one
good.
Aspect to it. Mm-hmm. And also the HSE give us funding every year as well. So
very
between
good.
Those two, we keep the show on the road.
Okay, so if you have a few shekels in your pocket at the meeting, you pop it in. But there's no actual cost for the meeting.
There's no actual cost, no. We don't, it's a voluntary contribution.
Brilliant, well done. And let me see, from the HSC. I assume you're registered, lads.
Yeah.
Yes,
if you're going that long, I'd imagine so. Yeah,
we are registered.
We
have
and a CHY number.
Okay.
Three numbers.
So you've all the digits behind it that are important.
Yeah.
And lads, this is our final question. What is the plans for Recovery Ireland in 2019?
Well, there's a new area leader in situ at the moment, Charles Kelly,
mm-hmm.
and so far he's certainly doing a great job in taking the recovery to a different level, so to speak. He has been responsible for opening two new groups down mm-hmm. the country, and I think one that was falling on its feet, he's actually revitalised that. I believe, too, he's looking at more ways and means of kind of spread recovery message down the country. We're not so bad in Dublin, but down the country, I think there is a need for more groups.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, more groups means more exposure, means more publicity.
Absolutely.
And it couldn't be anything but good for recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Dermot, you might like to add to that.
There are other... aspects to it too, so we're hoping to perhaps open a telephone meeting.
All right, very good. Okay, so conversation over the phone.
A longer time, yeah.
Okay.
Because that would help people who can't travel, if you like.
Absolutely, so they can still get help through the phone line, and get involved in a meeting.
Get the system, you know.
All right, gents.
And also, of course, to open new groups, and the way it works is that people go to meetings and they become trained as leaders.
Okay, all right.
And then they go out forth, if you like, and start.
And spread the word, if you will.
Recovery
Ireland, gentlemen, unfortunately we're out of time. We're going to have to finish up there. But I will give some more details after the break about Recovery Ireland and Recovery Self-Help Method Ireland. Okay? Thanks so much, gentlemen.
Phone numbers, I think.
I will definitely let people know. Brendan Minnick, it's been a pleasure. Again, thank you so much for coming to the show.
Can I just... briefly say Grennan. One thing, Liam. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we forget this. For all the group leaders, indeed people involved in recovery, we all owe the family set up behind us a great deal of gratitude.
Absolutely.
They're the ones who facilitate us being able to provide a service that is available in recovery.
Thank you so much, Brendan. Thank you, Dermot. Okay. We should talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Well, thank you.